Clayton. John Clayton.
Hey, Mom! I'm done with my segment!
This is the Coors Light Cold Hard Facts with John Clayton.
Brought to you by Coors Light. Made to chill.
Time to talk some football here. I guess I should say continue talking football. That's what we've been doing all day today so far here with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle. Absolutely right. And right now we talk with a professor as we do every day at this time. If you guys have questions for John Clayton, text those in right now to 710-710, the Vizzy Hard Seltzer text line, and we'll try to get to your questions as soon as we can. Hello, John.
Hello. Looking forward to continuing talking football.
Yeah, we just do it every day. Yeah. It's football season. That's what's supposed to happen.
Well, we also do it in the off season too, because there is no off season.
John, what would you talk about all day long if there was no football?
What would I talk
about?
What's
your second favorite thing?
Well, I mean, I would probably...
Spreadsheets.
Just talking spreadsheets, yeah, no doubt about that.
Clayton would be an accountant.
Yeah. I mean, certainly we'd talk, probably some baseball, because love baseball.
Is that your second favorite sport?
Yeah, that and college football. So
John threw out the first pitch one time a few years ago.
I was at that game.
And so it's like, scouting college football to see who's going to be going into the pros and all that stuff. But that would be a football, pro football related thing. Then, hockey, although, I've been out of it now for, 3 decades?
But you're from Pennsylvania.
I've been out of it 3.5 decades because, again, it's like I used to follow hockey a lot back in Pittsburgh, but with no hockey team here until the Kraken start, it's like then I can get back into hockey.
Yeah. Did you like the name and the colors and all that?
No. The colors are fine. I'm just not a big fan of the name.
Which one did you want?
I wanted...
There was Totems, there was
I wanted the Metropolitans. That's what
you
like I
wanted. The Metropolitans?
Yeah, I like it's classic sounding. Yeah. I like it.
That is cool.
Yeah. Then the Kraken, it's just so different.
Too different, huh?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
All right.
I wanted something salmon-related.
Oh, John, let's move on now. Yeah. I can't go.
Oh, really? No, like Steelhead?
Yeah, Steelhead or something. Nah, Steelhead doesn't work. No.
John, let's talk football. Let's talk Seahawks. We played this cut today, and Dave and I both just love Jamal Adams. But the question is more about, his availability. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, no question in my mind. I'm playing, man. Yeah, hey, look, as long as these legs are moving, man, as long as, my faith is with the man upstairs, which is very strong, I'm going to be out there. So there was never no doubt in my mind that I wasn't playing. So let's get that out there. I'm full go.
Dave and I are both smiling right now, John. You love hearing this guy. He's so intense. He's just a different level of player. What do you think we're going to see, though? I mean, how much do you think he'll, since we don't even really know what the injury is, it's just his shoulder, we don't know exactly what, do you think we're going to see a different version of him, a guy who's at 80%, 85%? What do you think?
Well, I don't think you're going to see a different version because he is what he is. He's just an intense player who loves the game of football and is willing to make hits. Now, I think that they might ease off and not do as many blitzes as they possibly can and try to make sure he doesn't put himself in a position to make the injury worse. But I think it's pretty safe to say that he wants to play. And I think, this kind of goes back a little bit to the Earl Thomas thing. And I think he brought out the big thing is, hey, as long as I can run, I'm fine. Because that was Earl's big thing. Because remember when he first got the broken leg in, he said, he tweeted out that he might have to retire because he says, if I don't have my legs and I don't have my versatility and ability to run, I'm not going to be able to play football. And of course, he was able to get it back and do a good job of doing it. But no, I think that sounds to me like end of story. Jamal's playing.
Let me ask you guys this. If you have a new football team and you're starting off and you can either have Aaron Donald or Jamal Adams, who would you take?
Aaron Donald or Jamal Adams? I would take Aaron Donald mainly because, he's at the line of scrimmage. He's, such a big force overall. I mean, he's one of the he's not just a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest to ever play the game on the defensive line. I mean, he's up there in that Reggie White, Warren Sapp type of mode. And so I would take the guy in the defensive line. The safety, certainly. I mean, you're talking about, a guy that is probably in the beginning of a potential Hall of Fame career. I mean, he's had more sacks than any other safety in the history of football, 9.5 composed to 8. I mean, you can see he's got the range of Troy Polamalu, the hitting ability of Brian Dawkins. But if I have a choice between, a closer guy at the line of scrimmage than a guy that's in the back, trying to be safety, I'm going with the D lineman.
That's a much tougher answer than I think most people would give credit. I think first blush, you go, Aaron Donald.
Yeah, I'm going with Jamal Adams.
Jamal is a guy that does what you want the defensive lineman to do, and that is sack the quarterback. And he did it better than any of the defensive linemen on the Seahawks. And he's also a guy who can cover. He's a guy that he's so multifaceted, and I believe he's got more opportunities to impact the game. We've seen Aaron Donald kind of get shut down. In fact, the Seahawks did it in the very first matchup. So he didn't record a stat, John. No tackles, no sacks, whereas I think it's impossible for Jamal not to record a stat in a game, to come up with some kind of big tackle behind the line of scrimmage, or he's just, I don't know. That is a tougher question than I think a lot of people would give credit
for. I'm still going to go with the defensive lineman who's pretty much unblockable, the guy that can not only beat double teams, but beat triple teams. I mean, it's like you don't find guys like that. And, again, he's such a great player. I mean, he just got, Hall of Fame ability, but I think he's going to go down as one of the greatest ever.
What kind of money do you think he's going to be looking at, John? Because he seems like a guy who's going to say, listen, I'm not a safety.
Yeah,
I want to be paid as a pass rusher. I want to be paid. Somehow his agent is going to look at those numbers and say, this man just set a record for a defensive back in the number of sacks. And he did it in 12 games, by the way, missing four games. So I think it's going to be a Jimmy Graham situation where he was saying, I'm not a tight end. I'm a receiver and wanted to be paid that way. What do you think Jamal does?
I think the one thing I think that he likes this team so much that I think he'll be fair. I mean, clearly the top of the market right now is $14.5 million, and he's easily going to top that. So you know he's going to go into at least 15. But I would have to think you cut the difference between the $17 million linebacker and him, and maybe they can get him for 15.5, and maybe they might have to go to 16. But if they do go to 16, I think it's going to be a structured contract. That again, does he want the average? Does he want the cash? Does he want the guarantees? I mean, he wants obviously the best, but particularly with the cap going down next year significantly, you can structure something that looks like it's a big average, but it may not be a big number. I look at, like, for instance, DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, his average was $27.5 million, but it's really about an $18 to $19 million deal, because if you backload it so much, then and that's when the cap starts going up, particularly big time in 2022, 2023.
And by the way, there's no debate or doubt whatsoever. The Seahawks will bring, I mean, you don't give up everything they gave up to bring him here and go, well, too rich for our blood, we'll let you go.
Yeah,
it's getting worked out one way or another.
Yeah, the one thing that's going to be so interesting is to see how they're going to work that out with Shaquille Griffin, certainly with Quandre Diggs and with
KJ
Adams.
Wright.
How about Dunbar?
What's that?
Dunbar, well, KJ Wright's up as well, right?
I hate to say this, Carlos, hope you're not listening, but it's like...
Dunlap, you mean?
Dunlap, yeah. I mean, Carlos Dunlap? Dunbar is gone. He's not going to be here.
Quentin Dunbar?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I mean, he's a free agent, and it's like, he missed most of the season. And again, if you're going to be putting money into Shaquille Griffin, I mean, you put money into Adams, and then can you put money into Quandre Diggs?
Yeah.
That's I think, going to be a very big question.
I'm one that thinks Quentin Dunbar has some very special qualities.
Oh, I do too.
And you didn't see it, obviously. So, yeah.
But see, the one history that he has out of Washington is injuries. Yeah. And unfortunately, he carried that over, and even more so this year. Now, I know it was a strange season, particularly with the arrest in the offseason. That kind of set things back.
Weirdest thing we've ever seen.
One of the weirdest ones I've ever been around. And so it's like you can see that is a issue. But no, I think it's going to be hard because, he's going to ask, and rightfully so, for decent money. But also it's like, okay, the higher the money goes, the higher the compensatory pick. And again, where they're so lucky is that they have DJ Reed.
Yeah, well,
and they bring KJ back, right?
They got to bring KJ back.
I think so. But I think it's interesting the Dunbar thing, because you mentioned injuries. I guess if you're judging by injuries, then you don't offer. There's the commissioner calling. You don't offer Chris Carson.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's going to be an interesting.
Can't we just keep everybody?
You know what? Can't we just stay in the playoffs right now? Come on. Why are we talking about offseason right now, John? Let me ask you about Jared Goff, what you know about his thumb. Maura said she read a report that it was, like, dislocated and broken.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, pretty tough guy, but if he had surgery, how is he going to be able to play just 2 weeks later?
I think it's going to be tough, but he was throwing the ball today, and so that's encouraging and giving the indication he has a decent chance of maybe being able to play. So that's a surprise, but hey, you know, we'll see. But, you know, what you also wonder about, you know, is how's that going to be? How's the weather conditions going to be? Is it going to be rainy? Can he grip the ball as well? Can he throw it as well? Because we've watched that now several times in the last few weeks. I mean, once that shoulder injury happened to Kyler Murray, I mean, he struggled for literally but three games and just wasn't the same. Then he gets the ankle injury. Then, you know, we saw that Goff gets the thumb injury. Now, he did okay. I know he made the one at the end of the game, but nice 20-plus yard throw. That was encouraging. But I still kind of wonder, it's like, he can be out there, but can he be effective?
I just looked at the weather forecast. It's going to flip and rain for the next 4 months.
God, I'm wow, that's an extended
sick
forecast.
Of sick of it right now. But yeah. Actually, it says
today's not raining, though.
46 degrees, 10% chance on Saturday. So
oh, okay.
Maybe you mentioned the weather.
Not bad.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be dry. Unless you want it to be wet, and that would be a disadvantage for Goff, right?
That would be a disadvantage for Goff. Yeah, no question about it. And again, you just wonder how effective can he be? You know, because it was going to be interesting to see if Daniel Jones was going to play because actually in many ways in the game against the Giants, it probably would have helped Seattle to have Daniel Jones out there. Because you saw with the hamstring injury, he wasn't the same, particularly around that time, because he came back the next week and he was awful. He's able to finally get some things going and a couple weeks after that. But, Colt McCoy came in there and did a decent job of managing the game. They probably would have been better served and luckier had Daniel Jones played because with that hamstring, he just wasn't ready.
John, I'll ask you what I asked Dave and Stacy earlier, and that is which side of the ball do you have more confidence in right now, the offense or the defense?
I'd still say the offense. I mean, because, the big flip is the fact that early in the season, as great as the offense was, you know, they were not playing good defenses. You know, Atlanta's not a good defense. Minnesota's not a good defense. Dallas isn't a good defense. And so they were able to get a lot of good points, and that worked out so well. And it got Russell Wilson, letting Russ cook and getting into those habits. But then in that second half of the season, say what you want. I mean, the defenses in the NFC East, particularly the three that they faced in the second half, we're pretty good. I mean, Philadelphia's defense is good. Giants' defense is surprisingly good. You know how good Washington's pass rush is. You know the Rams are good. You know Arizona's not bad. I mean, they were like 14, and so it was a little bit tougher, and so I think that's held things back. But still, now it's a matter they have to go against the number one defense in the league and see how they can do.
Yeah. All right, John. What about DJ Reed, by the way? 916 wanted to know. We didn't really work him in there. Oh, I guess you did mention
No, I didn't
DJ
mention
Reed.
It because, again, the beauty of that, and, you know, it's like, okay, so Quentin Dunbar, his contract is up. You know, DJ's still under his rookie contract.
Yeah.
So it's like...
he's only 24.
Yeah, exactly. And he plays, I mean, let's put it this way, he's played well enough now that he's the starter.
Yeah. Hey, John, any updates on as far as coaching, vacancies, any rumors, things like that going on? Where do you...
Well, Nick Caserio ended up getting the Houston job as the GM. And so now, is it going to be Matt Eberflus or is it going to be... it was kind of surprising.
Eberflus is like the OC for Indy?
He's a DC for Indy.
DC for Indy.
Defensive coordinator. But it's interesting that they have not talked to Eric Bieniemy. Because Houston's one of the few teams that did it. I saw that Nick's not going to hire Joshy Boy McDaniels is not going to go from New England to Houston. That's not going to be a consideration. So no surprise there, I guess. But it's just heating up. I mean, Jacksonville's interviewing Raheem Morris. I still don't buy the Urban Meyer to Jacksonville one. To me, it's just like, just don't see it. But, it's heating up. I know that, Robert Saleh is, I think he's going to get a job. I don't know which one. It could be the Jets. It could be Detroit. Detroit seemed to be the natural one because he's from Detroit. And I think he can be a good CEO type of coach. So we'll see where that goes. But, everybody's in the interview phase right now. And most of the teams are interviewing, 10 guys.
What kind of money would Meyer get? I saw the $12 million a year mark thrown out there, and somebody else shot that down saying that's not going to happen. For a guy who said he had to stop coaching for health reasons and that was going to be the end of his coaching career, I guess things have been cleared up on the health side of things for him. But you're going to pay $10 million a year for Meyer? What do you think he would get?
Matt Rhule got around $8 million, so I would have to think it's got to be somewhere around the $8 million a year mark. You know, I can't see it being double digits. That would be, you know, probably the wrong thing to do. And again, it's like, okay, so you pay him, if you pay him $10 million, is he going to last 3 years? Because he may want to get out of it after three, particularly knowing that that team is so void for talent that it's going to take, you know, at least 3 years to start getting into a respectable 6-7 win area.
John, it sure would be nice if Chicago could upset New Orleans, but I'm not seeing it.
No, it's Mitch Trubisky.
Brutal.
Because and the funny thing is, and that's why, you know, I'm probably too anal in studying schedules, but schedules are so important, particularly in a year like this. And, you know, Mitch was getting great reviews because he was getting, you know, 30 points a game. Four straight games was over 30 points, but those games, four of them were against four of the 6 worst defenses in football. I mean, that was, so it's like, okay, so how valid was it? They go against Green Bay, who at least ranked 9th, and 31-16. And even in the games that he's played with the 30-plus points, I mean, he never threw for more than 270 yards in any of those games.
John, if you think that there's going to be an upset, where would it be in the playoffs? I mean, you got Colts going up against Buffalo.
Yeah, you start right off where I think there can be an upset. And the reason
Colts and Buffalo?
Colts and Buffalo, yeah.
Ooh.
And the reason I say that is that, you know, you see inexperienced quarterbacks in the playoffs, it takes time for them to learn how to win those playoff games. Now, Seattle was fortunate because, you know, Russell Wilson picked up on it quickly and was able to get the win against Washington. Then, of course, unfortunately for him, and, you know, the comeback by Matt Ryan in Atlanta. But you can see that he was an instant playoff success. Then you look at, you know, Matt Ryan, he lost his first 3 playoff games. You know, you go through those. Even John Elway struggled in his early playoff games. And so what you're looking at is, here's Josh Allen, his second playoff game, and he's going against Phillip Rivers. And that's where that, I mean, you can see there's such a value this year in the experienced quarterbacks in their 30s. Because just go through the list. Okay, Tom Brady goes to Tampa. They won 11. Hadn't been to the playoffs in 9 years. Then you get Phillip Rivers. You put him on the team and you say, well, I think it's going to be an 11-win team. They won 11 games. Then you look at Alex Smith, 32 years old. I mean, he's helped get that team, Washington, into the playoffs with 7 wins. You know, that's good. And, you know, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, you know, really the bulk of the playoffs right now, particularly on the better teams, have the experienced quarterbacks, guys in their 30s. Now, we know that Patrick Mahomes is a great one on his own. Josh Allen is one of the rising stars. We'll see how Baker Mayfield can do. But I'm just wondering, can these experienced, Ben Roethlisberger coming back in Pittsburgh, you know, gets 11 wins to start the season. You know, these guys are so valuable.
So what do you think the future? I'll ask you this question along with a listener. The 253 is asking, will Carson Wentz be the starting quarterback for the Colts next year? And you were just talking about Phillip Rivers, obviously. Mm-hmm. Has he talked about his long-term plan? Does he want to play another?
He wants to play. I mean, Frank Reich says he's got 2 more years in him, and Frank knows him better than anybody because they've been together in San Diego, and now he was so happy when he was able to get him back. So I think that he can come back, but, you know, it's like, they can certainly look at Carson Wentz, but they won't be able to pay $25 million for Phillip Rivers and be able to take on that big contract. The one that I think is going to be intriguing, and nobody knows right now what they think in Indianapolis of Jacob Eason. But, you know, you figure that Jacoby Brissett is going to leave because, you know, why wouldn't he leave? It's like, oh, I'm the starting quarterback, and it's like, oh, you went out and you signed Phillip Rivers. Oh, and you drafted Jacob Eason. I kind of get the feeling that I kind of know where this future is going to be. So I think he ends up maybe going back to New England, so he can compete against a rookie, whoever they draft, and Jared Stidham as the quarterback. So I can see that happening. But the one that's going to be intriguing is that, what if Sam Darnold is going to be available for a second or third round choice? I can see a Chris Ballard not only trading for him, but still bringing Phillip back and using the year to try to turn around Carson Wentz's career.
Sam Darnold, you mean?
Sam Darnold, yeah. Not Carson Wentz, Sam Darnold, yeah.
John, where do you see, like, what typically happens when you get a guy like Doug Marrone, you know, who gets fired And then Anthony Lynn, who else got fired? What was the other one?
Adam Gase.
Adam Gase. Yeah. I mean, where do they end up going? They can end up on somebody else's staff. And I just haven't really tracked. Like, where do head coaches go when they get fired?
Well, it depends on what kind of – is he an offensive guy or a defensive guy? Because the one rumor that's out there right now is that Adam Gase could go down to replace Steve Sarkisian in Alabama as the offensive coordinator. And you know the history of Nick. Nick likes to get an experienced guy. I mean, he'll go for somebody with pro experience or an offensive mind that he likes. He wants with Lane Kiffin, and Sark hadn't been in the pros, but he went with Sark, and that worked out pretty well. So I can see Adam maybe getting something like that. As far as Doug Marrone, my guess is he probably has to take an offensive line job with some team because, he's not really the play caller. He's, a decent coach, but I think he's going to have to go more into position because he's not really a coordinator. And in the case of Anthony Lynn, I'm sure that, there'll be, maybe assistant head coach or running back opportunities for him to get something. Because, again, a lot of people like him, and rightfully so. He's such a respected person and a respected coach. He'll land someplace, but unfortunately not as a head coach.
What about Bevel?
Bevel, I think he can, get a coordinator's job because, he did a good job in Detroit. And, what you kind of wonder, because figuring that Matthew Stafford might get traded or cut in Detroit is that if he goes to another team that needs a coordinator, that might be a fit.
John, we appreciate it. We'll talk again tomorrow.
All right, sounds good.
There you go. If you missed any of today's cold, hard facts, brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Download the podcast at 710sports.com. Coming up, you want to see the Seahawks try airing it out again, going deep, or do you want to see them establish more of a dink-and-dunk offense against the Rams in that defense on Saturday? We'll talk about that next with Wyman and Bob on 710 ESPN Seattle.